earth, and sky.
It's the proverbial Humpty Dumpty problem. When you fall over the wall, you can't put it back together again.
You're listening to John Foley, director of the Institute on the Environment at the University of Minnesota, and this is Earth Skies, Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Foley co-authored a 2009 paper that attempted to define upper limits for human impact on the environment, beyond which catastrophic and irreversible damage is possible. He spoke about these limits, or boundaries, with Earth Skies' Lindsay Patterson.
So you were involved in a scientific effort to define the Earth's planetary boundaries. And can you tell me what's meant by planetary boundaries and how are they defined?
Well, this really came out of a lot of thinking from many different disciplines where we all realized that there were so-called kind of tipping points in the environment where if you add a little more pollution or cause a little more damage, it didn't just respond in a nice straight line kind of way where one more bit of pollution means one more bit of damage. You sometimes encounter these cliffs where you push the system a little too far and things would just tip over and fail. For example, we worry about this with biodiversity. If we lose one more species, how many more can you lose before all those webs of relationships just fall apart and the system collapses? Or with climate change, how much warmer can the planet get? A little warmer, and then suddenly you kick off these feedbacks in the Arctic where we're losing glaciers and snow and sea ice start to amplify global warming through these kind of positive feedbacks and kind of run away into a whole new climate. So what we discovered is that these kind of tipping points existed all over the world in many different fields from through the physics and chemistry and biology of the planet. And so these boundaries were meant to be defining kind of where the edge of the cliff was. If you think there's a cliff ahead or, you know, the bridge is out ahead, don't you want to put up a sign saying, hey, maybe you shouldn't go past this point. This is a dangerous place to go. So imagine, you know, we're putting up big pieces of police tape around the environment saying, you know, do not cross.
How will we know when we stray outside those boundaries and what's going to happen?
Well, one of the very perverse things about this is sometimes you don't know you've crossed a boundary until long after you've already done it. Sometimes there are delays in the system that tipping point doesn't show up for maybe decades until after you've crossed it. That's one of the things we worry about with climate change, is that there's a long delay in how climate responds to greenhouse gases. And so the warming we see today is only catching up to the pollution levels of the 1960s. And so we have a lot more warming to go before we see what will happen. But what happens generally is that you cross a boundary where things get a lot worse, a lot faster, and they are also mostly irreversible damages. If you lose a whole ecosystem or a complex part of a food web, how do you put it back again? How do you fix it? If we lose sea ice in the Arctic or we destabilize Greenland's ice sheet, that kind of thing, how do you fix that? I mean, there's no amount of money in the world that can fix that problem. It's the proverbial Humpty Dumpty problem. When you fall over the wall, you can't put it back together again.
Have we already gone over some of these planetary boundaries? Or can you give me an example of one of those irreversible changes?
Well, in our study, we looked at 11 different areas that we thought were critical environmental issues, ranging from biodiversity loss to climate change to changes in ocean chemistry and beyond. And we felt, based on our assessment of where the current science says, and science is changing all the time, the data are changing all the time, but based on the reading of the scientific literature and what we currently think we know, we felt that three of these boundaries have already been passed. On climate change, that we're already beginning to move our planet into a different climate than we've seen for thousands of years. On biodiversity loss, we are now causing as much extinction as the last great extinction of the Cretaceous-Tertiary boundary, like when the dinosaurs died away, that kind of thing. We're doing a lot there. And also on pollution, especially related to agriculture from nitrogen and phosphorus and what they do to our waterways and ecosystems and oceans. And so we basically documented that three of them may have already been passed out of the 11 and that many more will be coming up soon.
What qualifies as unacceptable environmental change? I'm thinking a lot of people tend to make the argument with climate, for example, you know, who's to say this is our ideal climate? Or couldn't you just call this a co-evolution between humans and the planet?
Well, yeah, certainly you could make that argument that, if we change the environment, that isn't always bad. Fair enough. Where we defined the boundaries, though, were basically the boundaries where we will cross and change the whole planet to be something so different than we've seen for at least the last 10,000 years. During this period we call the Holocene, part of the geologic record. And that's the time of all human history. I mean, going all the way back to Jericho existed in this one time where our climate was unusually stable, where food and water supplies were where they are now, where we shared the planet with the same species we did, early in this century. And so that's, everything that we know as a civilization, every scrap of human history occurred in this one little period of the Earth's record. And so we're talking about changes that would be outside of that, that would take us into a time where it's not the end of the world, but it's certainly the end of the world as we know it.
That seems a little somber.
I don't mean to be somber, but people say that, environmental changes, well, we could adapt to that. We probably can to a lot of these things. But other dramatic changes in the environment that have happened in the past, which people point out, well, we had ice ages, and we had this, and we had that in the past, so why can't we have it again? I'm like, well, yeah, we did, and guess what? Each time that happened, there were mass extinctions and civilizations that collapsed and all sorts of really bad stuff. I mean, all it took to almost bring down the global economy this last year was a few guys on Wall Street playing around with leveraging funds, right? And nearly brought us all down as a Western economy, right? Well, now let's start changing stuff that really matters, like, where our water supplies are, or where pollinating insects are, or the kind of climate we can expect from years into the future. Then ask, how are we going to help adapt to that? How resilient are we to really big changes in the environment? And I don't think we're resilient enough.
With the planetary boundaries beyond identifying the areas in which the Earth is in trouble, does it offer any kind of pathway back to sustainability, back to getting within that safe space for humans?
Well, I think this one paper, and it was only 4 pages, it basically was trying to put up the warning saying, these are where the boundaries are. We shouldn't go beyond them. So I think that's what we try to achieve in this little piece of paper. But beyond that, it certainly ties into a lot of thinking that's going on about climate change, about revolutionizing our energy economy to de-emphasize oil and gas and coal, to revolutionize agriculture and revolutionize the way we think about water. And so a lot of the solutions to avoiding these planetary boundaries are kind of in our grasp now. We know what to do. We know we have to reinvent the energy economy. We have to reinvent everything we know about agriculture and fresh water. And the good news is that, as far as I can tell, all of these are tremendous economic opportunities for us. They're going to create jobs and lots of wealth and capital, and they'll improve our national security. I mean, these are all good things. So I'm actually pretty upbeat that if we start working hard enough, in time enough, we can really avert a lot of the worst of these things. And also have a world that might be a lot better for our kids than we currently have today.
You've been listening to John Foley, Director of the Institute on the Environment at the University of Minnesota. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.